Chi City Sports Radio. Touchdown! All Chicago sports talk.
What up, what up? This is Adam with Chi City Sports Radio, part of ChiCitySports.com. We're going to have another Bear-centric show today, and joining me on the show again is perhaps a co-host in training, Nick Fish. Fish, how are you, bud?
Good, how are you?
Doing well, my friend, doing well. We're going to have a relatively quick show today. We're going to talk probably 10 minutes on the Bears, on some of the things that we saw from the last game and what we're going to look at moving forward. Before we get too far into it, the game we had yesterday against the Rams, a game that a lot of us thought was a winnable game, it's a conference game, and we all know the Bears desperately need some conference wins. A lot of our wins this year have come against the AFC. My personal opinion, we looked okay. The defense gets gashed like they do every week. But really, until 4 or 5 minutes left in the game, the Bears were in it. At the end of the day, we lost, and the score looked really bad. But we're 6-5. We are in a pseudo-tie with the Lions for the division lead. They do have the tiebreaker against us after winning both games. Mm-hmm. The Packers and the Vikings tied, which is still hilarious to me that we have ties in the NFL in 2013. But in the game this week, Trestman showed off what may be a disturbing trend to some. He elected to go for it on fourth down near the goal line when we could have used the 3 points. And I really wanted your take on that. Should we, in your opinion, have kicked the field goal or tried for it?
I mean, looking at the scoreboard, it's 24-14 with 8 minutes left in the third. The Bears defense really showed no signs of slowing anybody down. I think you or I could have signed up as Rams running back and rushed for 100 yards yesterday against the Bears defense. I really didn't have a problem with Trestman going for it on fourth and one. What I do have a problem with is just the lack of creativity of sending Michael Bush up the middle, who for whatever reason just hasn't gotten into his flow all year. They always, like the people I was watching the game with, they said he takes a step back, and he takes that step back and the defenders pile right on him. He can't even step forward. So in short, I mean, I really don't mind the tresticles, so to speak, even when they do fall short, because really I think you got to have some sort of faith in the offense to get you that yard. And I mean, I may be crazy for this, but if you can't get a yard, I don't think you deserve to win the game. I just wish they'd use the play where the Bears are in the shotgun and they do a draw to Forte near the goal line. It seemed like that worked 2 or 3 times this year. I'm not really sure why they faded away from that. I just think while it's okay to go for it, I just think the personnel and obviously the execution has just been terrible the last couple times they tried it.
Right, right. Now listen, I'm going to agree with you on a lot of what you said. When I was watching the game with my family, and some of the people I was watching it with, and I got into an argument over whether or not it was okay, whether or not it was the right decision to go for it. And I said, yes, but pass. And they were saying, take the three. And I was with you. Like, we've shown, the Bears defense has shown, they're not going to stop a whole lot of teams. They're going to get the timely turnover from time to time, and that hurt us last week because we did not get that timely turnover against St. Louis. But what bothers me more than that, more than anything, is that the last two times that, or the two most obvious times, the two times at the goal line the last 2 weeks, it's been a run to the left side. When Forte has ran on the goal line successfully this year, he has followed Kyle Long in. Long has holes in his game. He's a rookie, as does Mills on that side. But at the end of the day, Long is the nastiest offensive lineman we have.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're going to run, I think you almost have to run behind him. So I didn't mind the idea of going for it. I think having McCown instead of Cutler back there plays into it a little bit. It's hard for me to believe that McCown has the same amount of freedom to change plays and stuff like that as Cutler would.
Right.
But I don't hate the play call, or I don't hate the decision. I wasn't a big fan of the play call. I honestly believe Bennett was going to be open deep in the middle of the end zone. But regardless, we can move on from there. For what it's worth, I believe Tressman has done very well as a first-year head coach in the NFL. He's been dealt kind of a crappy hand. He had a lot of returning stars, but a lot of them are hurt, especially on the defensive side of the ball.
Yes, and to the defense where they wanted to keep, where Lance Briggs basically, I mean, I remember him saying that on ESPN when they were playing the Chargers. He basically said, there was nothing wrong with us. We were fine. But then when push came to shove, you allowed 47 points to a Washington team that is now getting the doors blown off of them, it seems like, every week by somebody. So, I mean, question really falls, you know, aren't we kind of glad to be, the Bears are moving forward in an offensive era of football, whereas if they were stuck with Lovie another year, these defensive stars would have been hurt and injured, and we'd have really no hope for the offense going forward. At least now the Bears have some good pieces on offense to go forward. Not only that, a creative offensive mind who sometimes may be too smart for his own good.
Right.
But going forward, I have no problem with a top 10 offense and a top 25 defense.
My biggest fear with Tressman is that he is such the polar opposite of Lovie. It's going to become a problem. He's an offensive, he's intelligent offensively. He knows mm-hmm. what he's doing. He has completely transformed our offense in 1 year.
Yes.
With a hat tip to Phil Emery, the general manager, for getting some really good pieces in. But I just don't know how in tune he is with the defense.
Yeah.
And I mean, Mel Tucker's going to be the fall guy. I have little doubt in my mind. The defense has been so good for so long, and now it's been so bad that, you know, injuries are one thing, but my guess is that Tucker's going to be gone after this season. But my fear is that Tressman is so one-sided
mm-hmm.
that we're going to really struggle to have a complete team, a top 10 offense, a top 10 defense, and that's almost what it takes to win. I mean, you can have outliers like the Saints a few years ago where the defense was terrible, but they got a lot of turnovers.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's really difficult to win if one side of the ball just isn't, you know, at least league average. And right now the defense is far from league average.
And like you kind of said, and I'll kind of point it out a little bit more clearly, I mean, you're down to guys like Landon Collins and Christian Tuapu on defensive tackle. And these are guys that weren't even in training camp to start off the year. So, I mean, as much as people want to bash Mel Tucker, it's fine. I mean, I get it. But at the same time, he's been dealt a crappy hand with three defensive tackle injuries, the three stars you're going forward with, and the fourth, Cedric Ellis, he retired before camp even kicked off. So, I mean, you can fault Emery for not signing Israel Adonijay, and that's fine, but would Israel Adonijay really be the difference now in shoring up this defensive line? I mean, it's not gonna get any better, you know. Jeremiah Ratliff, as he preferred to be called, will, I would assume, help, but even then he's coming off a big injury, so that's all the Bears got left to hope for, is a guy who's coming off a severe injury and was just cut by the Cowboys, so who knows?
Right. We're going to get off of the Tressman train for a minute. We're going to move on to a different topic. I want your input on the rookies for the Bears. We start four right now. We've got, of course, Long and Mills on the right side of the offensive line, and Bostic and Green at the linebacker position. And I've heard a lot of chatter, especially on ShyCitySports.com, the forum, that Bostic may be regressing a little bit. I keyed in on him on a lot of plays, but I want to know what your opinion is before I give my input. What do you think about the play from the rookies as a whole right now?
I think the rookies as a whole have really done well. And since you mentioned Bostic, I'll save him for a little bit later, but the guy I really want to talk about is David Bass. I mean, the guy was a seventh-round pick from Oakland. He went went pick 233, three picks before the Bears took Marquez Wilson from Washington State. And David Bass has really been a sight for sore eyes on the defensive line. He made a couple nice sacks and had that nice interception return for a touchdown against Baltimore 2 weeks ago. So, like I say, it's kind of amazing. Even though he wasn't in camp at all with the Bears, he was in camp with the Raiders, and they thought they could sneak him by and stash him away in the practice squad. Bass has turned into a nice, solid contributor on the 53-man roster, so I'm really happy about that. Going back in the draft, we'll look at Marquez Wilson. I kind of mentioned him already. Kind of a guy, some people might say he'll take over for Earl Bennett. And he has to put on weight. We'll see. I really liked his speed against Carolina in that first preseason game. And then the sixth-round pick, Cornelius Washington, he got worked by Reggie Bush up in Detroit a month or two ago. He hasn't seen the field much since then, so he might be a project in waiting. Kasim Green, I really like the plays he's made. I know he's gotten pushed into action a little bit faster than what the staff wanted, but I don't think he's killed the Bears, and that's really what you look for in the fourth round and later, that these guys don't harm the Bears or prevent them from winning games. And really, when I look at the play from even all the rookies, that's been the case. And to go along with Bostic, I feel that, you know, he's going to make mistakes. And I noticed in the Ravens game, the overtime, he guessed completely wrong. He thought it was going to be a pass, and it turned out to be a run. And Rice just gashed the Bears for 15 yards. I mean, that's something. He had the athleticism to eventually catch up and make the tackle. You just kind of hope that eventually the smarts will catch up with the athleticism, and he can make the read a little bit quicker and save 10 yards on the tackle instead of allowing the 15 and making the nice play.
Right, right. When it comes to the guys you mentioned, I'm going to leave Wilson and Washington alone because they're projects at this point. I mean, you know, we may see them in a couple years. We may see them on a different team in a couple years. They may be out of the league in a couple years. Who knows? Bass, I'm glad you brought him up because he's really turned some eyes. And, you know, we've heard some talk over, you know, do we move Peppers inside? Do we play him at nose tackle so we can put Bass on one side and kick Wooten back out, because Wooten's completely ineffective as a three technique guy. He's not a defensive tackle. He's a marginal defensive end who can make a splash play, but we're playing him inside, and it's just a waste of position. We need to get McClellan out of there completely, and if Bass has outplayed him, and in my eyes he has, then we need to stop with Wooten at tackle. Maybe kick Peppers in there for a few plays. We did it a few times last year. They called it the Audubon. They called it, you know, the Chicago Rush. They called it a lot of different things when we had a bunch of defensive ends.
Kind of like the Giants in the NASCAR package a few years ago.
Exactly, exactly.
Tuck and Strahan in there yet. And anyways.
But some of the guys you mentioned, Green, I'm not as impressed with as you, but you make a good point. He wasn't ready to jump into a starter role. And he did. And I'm going to kind of make a similar argument for John Bostic. Of all our rookies, Bostic is under the biggest microscope because he's replacing a Chicago legend.
Mm-hmm.
And he's had to do it far earlier in his career than anybody thought was going to be necessary. We all liked him. We all like his speed. We like the big hits. But his job, especially with Briggs out, is to patrol the middle of the field to get guys lined up and to make plays at the line of scrimmage. And for a rookie, I don't care that he played in the SEC. I don't care that it's the conference in college football that's closest to the NFL. It's not the NFL. And there is a steep learning curve.
Yep.
I don't hate the way Bostic has played. He's going to make mistakes every game for 2 years because there's only a handful of linebackers that come out of college every year that are ready for the NFL.
Well, I mean, you could even go as far to say that even Von Erlacher probably made a mistake or two every game that I'm sure people would criticize him for, you know, too, even in his prime in 2005, 2006. But, you know, you just hope that eventually the mistakes begin to get minimized, and the big hits and the interceptions get highlighted a little bit more, and that those have become the plays that define Bostic, and not being a step or two late on a inside rush or a step or two late dropping back into coverage, you know.
Right, right. I completely agree. And, like, on the other side of the ball, with Long and Mills both, I mean, we're comparing them to nothing. We're comparing them to guys that aren't starters in the NFL.
Well, Jamarcus Webb is a starter at Taco Bell.
But there you go. I mean, he came in the game for the Vikings a couple weeks ago after their right tackle got injured.
Mm-hmm. Phil Lowell, he was rumored to be interested. The Bears were rumored to be interested in him in the offseason.
Right, right. And I remember laughing out loud and telling the person I was watching the game with, well, this game just ended. And she said, what are you talking about? And I said, well, Jamarcus Webb's in.
And the first play was a strip sack, a fumble, and a Dallas touchdown. And Jamarcus Webb was standing there wondering what the heck was going on. I guess he was looking for the bear claws Martellus Bennett ate.
Right, he was looking for the quarterback to tie a shoe. I mean, you know, that doesn't matter at this point. But Bostic is under the biggest microscope. And again, I don't hate the way he's played. He's going to make mistakes, and I hope all Bears fans understand he's going to make some mistakes. He's a young guy who's trying to learn the position on the fly, and his right-hand man, the guy that was calling all the plays, Briggs, is out. The most seasoned veteran on the Bears defense, Tillman, is out. Julius Peppers is not the Julius Peppers he was 3 years ago. And, you know, of course, Urlacher's gone. So we're talking to this 22-year-old kid, 23 years old, however old he is. And we're saying, you know, we want you to be the middle linebacker for the toughest, one of the toughest divisions on defense. We want you to be vocal. We want you to be making calls. And at the same time, you know, we want you to keep up with the tradition of middle linebacker in Chicago, which is a ridiculous task. And nobody says it out loud because we don't want that to be the expectation. Mm-hmm. But when you look back at the guys like Singletary and Urlacher, you think
and
hard.
Marcus.
Right, and Buckus, you know, you think, make plays at the line of scrimmage, get the tackles for loss, don't get caught out of position. And he's going to from time to time, and we're going to have to live with it. But I really think a couple years down the road, it may be a blessing in disguise. I mean, I hate that right now it looks like we're on the outside of the playoffs looking in, but it's going to help Bostic's progression to have to go through this mess now.
Yep.
To start picking up NFL speed, to start figuring out different offensive audibles, you know, where guys are lined up, where he needs to line up the defense. Because I think when he was drafted, one of the goals was to draft the future defensive leader. And whether or not he turns into that, time will tell. Mm-hmm. But up to this point, I don't hate the way he's played. He's going to make mistakes, and I hope everybody realizes that.
Mm-hmm.
We need to move on. We're going way long. We are going to talk a little bit about Cutler, but we're just going to mention Cutler because we don't need this to turn into a Cutler podcast because everybody talks about Cutler. Where do you see him after this season? Does he get a contract extension? Is he franchised? Or is he playing in Cleveland or somebody else, some other team that desperately needs quarterback?
Well, you mentioned Cutler, so I got to give a shout out to Beer Mac Spartan and Pride as Bears. Those three guys make Cutler very entertaining for me as a fan and an avid reader of the Chi City forums. I think it's time for the Bears to move on from Mr. Jay Cutler. It just seems like every time we wait for him to come around. This year was supposed to be the year. No excuses. He has a quarterback whisperer. He has the tight end. He has number one. He has number two. He has an offensive line. He's had Matt Forte all his years in Chicago. What happens? He still turned the ball over 11 times in 8 games as starting quarterback. He still makes the same mistakes that a rookie quarterback should make. So while I think the Bears ultimately decide to keep him just because of the awfulness of the quarterback position the past 70 years, I don't think that would be the right move for the franchise, and I certainly don't think that would be the right move if Mark Trestman and Phil Emery want to keep their jobs. I feel like they'd be better served drafting a rookie quarterback, even though my guy Aaron Murray tore his ACL and is out for quite a while, so I'm not too keen on that idea anymore. But I feel like Trestman and Emery would be better served by developing their own guy and moving on from Jay Cutler and just really eliminating the mistakes and saving the money on Cutler and rebuilding towards the defense.
Right, that's fair. Let me tell you where I've stood. Let me tell you my timeline of my Cutler fandom. When the Bears traded for him, I remember calling my father. It was on his birthday. And I said, "Happy birthday. The Bears just got the best quarterback in franchise history." It's fair to say I've soured a little since then. Now, it's also fair to say he's a top five quarterback in franchise history because I mean, we're talking about the tallest midget at this point.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't really matter, you know, because the history is so weak at the position that it's not that big of a deal. But coming into this season, I said one way or another, Cutler's on the team in 2014. Don't care what his stats are. Because he's had a million, he's had almost a different offensive coordinator every season he's been here.
Mm-hmm.
His offensive line has been just piss terrible. I mean, just bad.
And you know the one thing that really gets me about Cutler, and it just really irks me when people do this, and I know they do it just for reaction anymore, but it's like they say he isn't tough, and they say he has a bad attitude. I've never seen a guy take so much of a beating the past four seasons, get himself off, dust himself back up, and keep going. Even in the Lions game, he had that groin injury. I mean, I was hoping for the best that he could pull it out and somehow win the game, but it just wasn't in the cards that day. I mean, if there's one thing that I do appreciate about Jay Cutler that I'd probably miss about him, it's just that he'd get himself back up. It wouldn't matter if he throws four interceptions or not. He's still going to try and make that throw for a touchdown. He's still going to dust himself off after a hit and get back up
Cutler,
and try and win the game.
Cutler has such a bad image with the media that, and in Chicago, it's not the same that it was 3 or 4 years ago. But nationally, he's a prick, according to, you know, national media. He's not a great teammate. He's kind of a wuss, says Maurice Jones-Drew, who's been absolutely nothing since he tweeted from his couch that he would have played if he had Cutler's injury in the playoffs. But I will say, and, you know, Urlacher said a lot of things since he's retired that make you just kind of question his validity, make you question, you know, his intelligence in the conversation, stuff like that. When he was playing, he said Cutler is one of the toughest guys on the team. And Urlacher and Cutler didn't always have a great relationship. So for Urlacher to back his quarterback like that tells me that that was sincere during the playing days. Cutler's tough. But I will say this. Since this year, since Josh McCown has played as well as he has, I'm starting to think you franchise Cutler. You give him a year.
Oh,
but
no.
The only reason you give him the year is to groom Zach Mettenberger, the next quarterback for the Chicago Bears.
He goes to LSU.
Currently
at LSU,
right?
LSU.
Yes, he's 6'5". He's got all the measurables. He actually, if you pull their faces up side by side, he looks like Jay Cutler. Not that that matters at all. But I was on the fence. Give Cutler a long contract or not. Now I'm leaning towards you franchising, because if you don't franchise him and you go with a rookie next year, we're not going to be drafting in a position where we can get a rookie that's going to lead us to wins next year. I still like, I don't care about RG3 or Luck or Wilson or Bradford or any of the other rookie quarterbacks last 4 years. Kaepernick, well, Kaepernick wasn't a rookie. Dalton's had marginal success. But regardless, I really believe you let a rookie sit. You let him learn, and then you throw him to the fire. You know, I don't like starting. I mean, you look at RG3 and Luck's numbers this year. You know, now that people have tape on them, they're not the same guy they were last year. And,
to be fair to RG3, I'm far from his biggest fan, but you just have to wonder if that ACL injury has really done a number on him, too.
Yeah, and I'll agree with that. And, I mean, you also have to look at it like he's looking – at his long-term health more now than he was. He's not scrambling as often now. But regardless, I'm kind of on the fence. On the fence still. And I think, personally, right now, this may change in 2 days. We'll see. But I think you franchise him, you franchise Cutler, and you let him play out his last year. You let him play for a contract for another team because he's not going to get Flacco money. He's not going to get Romo money. Or if he does, I don't want it to be from the Bears.
Yep.
If he wants to sign for 3 years and $48 million with $20 million guaranteed, I'm going to consider that. I'm not willing to throw $90 million plus at him.
Yep, I would probably agree with that. The only thing that worries me about the tag, and I know we've gone on a little long about this, but my piece about the tag is that basically what it will be, $18, $19 million. I mean, we kind of know what Jay Cutler is. He'll be going into year 9. Granted, he'll be going into year 2 of freshman system, so maybe if he stays healthy, he'll improve and he'll become more efficient, but I just don't see it. I just don't see the light coming on. I just don't see the light coming on in year 9, and I just think they'd be better served going with Josh McCown and put the money towards shoring up the defense and shoring up the defensive line.
Okay, so wait. You're saying that your opinion, we're going to transition a bit into the offseason. You're saying that you are fine with your 2014 starting quarterback week 1 being Josh McCown.
Correct. Let me say that you probably won't win a Super Bowl with Josh McCown as your starting quarterback. But I know I'm pretty confident now that Jay Cutler will not be leading the Bears or any other team to the Super Bowl in 2014 either. He'll either be injured or else he's going to make those one or two mistakes that will just compromise the Bears' chances or whatever team he's on. Chances of winning the game and ultimately being successful in the games that really count in the playoffs.
Okay. You and I have a very different view of how to start the 2014 season, and that's fine. Tell me this. You don't want Cutler on the team next year.
Correct.
Your boy, the boy that you've said for 3 weeks, I've seen on the forum that you've said this for 3 weeks minimum. Aaron Murray should be the guy drafted in the second round, maybe third if he falls that far by the Bears.
Yeah, like I said, he had the ACL injury. So I'll back off of that. But that's really unfortunate for him. But man, I mean, if they take a quarterback early, I hope it's not him. But if he falls to the sixth or seventh, you know, it could be that far.
I just don't see it. He'll be a fourth round pick thereabout. That's my opinion.
Mm-hmm. But, I mean, if he falls 6 or 7, the Bears already have a quarterback, I wouldn't see the harm in taking a flyer. But definitely, that would be a no at this point.
I mean, right now, Derrick Rose has better knees than Aaron Murray does. So, I'm iffy. And I like Murray. And I think a healthy Murray fits Freshman's offense well. He's a smart mm-hmm. kid. He's accurate on a short and intermediate routes. He doesn't have a long ball. He's the younger version with more potential of Josh McCown. He's going to make good decisions. He's not going to cost you a game. I don't know yet that he's going to win you a game, but really when you get into anybody after the first 3 quarterbacks in any draft, that's kind of the view on them. You're not sure how they're going to go. They've got the potential to be really good Pro Bowl level quarterbacks, but you just don't know. Who do you want? Who do you want the Bears to draft? I'm assuming you want them to draft. I'm assuming you don't want them to go after Ryan Fitzpatrick or Matt Castle to be Cutler's replacement. Josh McCown's not a long-term solution. So where are you leaning? Because I'm telling you right now, Murray is not going to be the pick that the Bears make. I mean, the guy's knee, he just tore his ACL. He's not going to be ready for training camp.
Derek Carr's a name that kind of intrigues me just because brother was obviously had a journeyman career in the NFL and he got a whacking quite a bit, but I just wonder if I just feel confident in whatever Trestman takes because I am far from the knowledge guru on college football. But Derek Carr would be a name that would intrigue me, but I really don't know. I just feel that we know what Jay Cutler is at this point, and not to belabor the point, but I feel that if we really trust Emery and Trestman, they should be able to pick whatever quarterback they want and turn him into the quarterback whisperer, turn Mitch Gannon from a no-name to an MVP. I mean, I just can't imagine if he can do that with Rich Gannon, what Mark Trestman could do with a guy fresh out of college.
Well, and I mean, that's kind of the same point that some people are making about McCown. Look what he's doing. That's kind of what's changed my thinking. That's what's evolved my thinking. Look what he's doing with a journeyman backup that Emory picked up off of a high school coaching staff.
Well, yeah, I mean, McCown's history to the Bears goes further back in 2011 when Mike Martz was in town. Mike Martz wanted him to run the offense over Caleb Haney at one before the season.
Maybe the smartest thing that Martz said when he was with Chicago. I'm going to throw a name out at you. I'm going to throw a couple names out at you, and I want to see what you think about them. You've mentioned Murray. I've mentioned Mettenberger. Let's go to another SEC quarterback, A.J. McCarron, Alabama's quarterback. Is he a guy that you consider in the fourth or fifth round if he's there? Because to me, he does not scream top-level NFL quarterback. He reminds me of a lot of other Alabama quarterbacks that go in.
Big McElroy.
Exactly. A guy that's a backup for a few years and he's out of the NFL. Is that kind of the same sense you get with
him? Yeah, that's kind of the same sense. I mean, if it's a sixth or seventh round and you take your Murray or your Mettenberger or your Carr, that's fine. I mean, I'd be okay with it. But to put a Band-Aid and say McCarron's going to be our quarterback going forward. Now, granted, Catherine Webb's a lot nicer looking than Kristen Cavallari, but that's a discussion for another show. But... But if Mark Trestman and Phil Emery tell the Bears fans that McCarron's an answer at quarterback going forward, and I wouldn't be so confident about that.
Right. Right. Let me throw one more SEC quarterback at you.
Oh, no.
And I think you know where I'm going.
Oh, no.
Say we have the 16th pick, and Johnny Football's on the board. Do you think, now this isn't the sense I've gotten from Emory, we're not trying to sell tickets, we're trying to win games. If he's available, and he may be, I mean, you can't argue against the kid's college stats. He was the Heisman Trophy winner last year, and he's having a better year this year. Do you consider it in the first round?
I'd consider it, but I mean, at the same time, I'd consider it, and I'd throw the sheet containing his name right in the garbage. I personally want no part of Johnny Football, and it's a lazy analysis on my part, but I just see the next Ryan Leaf in him. It just seems like he's completely immature, and it seems like he always has his four touchdown games, but they're also compromised by two interceptions. And if a majority of the guys are in the secondary aren't even NFL level, I can't imagine what a guy like Tremont Williams or a Harrison Smith or even a Glover Quinn's going to do to him in the NFC North that he's going to have to face six times a year. So, I mean, I'd like
PD.
I mean, I wouldn't be completely opposed to Johnny Football later, but in the first round, that's too much of a reach for any quarterback, as many holes as the Bears have.
Jacksonville or Cleveland. Teams that need to put butts in seats. That's the kind of team I see picking him. I'm going to throw one more name at you. And I mean, when it comes to Johnny Football, when it comes to Manziel, you know, the popular response on ShyCitySports.com would be, can he play D-tackle? Because that's the view that a lot of people are going to think we need to, you know, that's where a lot of people are going to think we need to focus our draft on, especially if we don't pick up anybody on the defensive line in free agency. One more name, and I'm going to do this just for everybody that's listening that are big Chicago sports area fans. Northern Illinois quarterback Jordan Lynch. The guy is lights out, but he plays against nobody. Is he a guy? And I mean, right now there's a lot of draft grades that have him going. Let me look up real quick, but I think the last one I saw had him as a third or fourth round quarterback. Do you consider a guy like Jordan Lynch from Northern Illinois as a guy that you groom for a year and then throw into the fire?
I'd definitely consider it, just because to me the cream always rises to the top, and you know, a guy like him, I feel it would be a really intriguing pick. And quite honestly, with the hires there's made with Phil and Mark Trestman, he'd almost fit right in, just for that unique background, that unique skill set he has. Another guy from the MAC I know I hear a lot about is Keith Wayne from Ball State. He's think he had a stretch.
What was his name again?
Keith Wenning. He's a quarterback for Ball State. And he had, like, I think 8 straight 300-yard games. Now, I don't care who you're going against. In college football, if you can throw for 8 straight 300-yard games, that's pretty impressive and at least worthy of discussion in my book. I'm not sure if he'll amount to anything in the pros, probably not. But I say it's worth at least looking after. There's quite a few quarterbacks, and if the Bears can't find one in this draft, then it might be another 70 years before they find another decent one.
Right, right. I'm pulling up right now CBS Sports rankings of draft prospects, and it's the same list that I use for the Bears mock draft database that I do every year. And a lot of these guys that we've mentioned are on here. We have guys like, and for the record, Jordan Lynch is listed as an undrafted guy on here, which I don't see, but I could be way wrong on that. I'm not the greatest college football mind. Bridgewater Mariota, Manziel, they have as a first-round grade. Carr, Mettenberger, they have as first-round grades. McCarron is a second or third, as is Aaron Murray, especially now. He may drop a little further than that. Another guy that's on a lot of people's radar is a guy in the ACC, Logan Thomas from Virginia Tech. He's a big guy. He's 6'6", 250. And they have a fifth or sixth round grade on him. And that's another... That's the kind of guy that ultimately, whether I like it or not, I see the Bears going after. A guy that can get in the fourth or fifth round that maybe a year ago had a really high grade. A guy that's shown that he can win, that's shown that he can make a lot of the throws. I don't think they're looking for a guy that can be a dual threat quarterback, a guy that can run, but I don't think they're going to let that deter them from drafting who they want. But he's another interesting name, Logan Thomas from Virginia Tech. Regardless, we need to wrap this show up. We've been going a little long. When it comes to positions drafted, are you in agreement? We have to look on defensive side of the ball, preferably on the D-line first.
Yeah, I'd pretty much go D-line. I'd probably, you know, I'm not even sure if James Anderson can be afforded to come back because I know he's making league minimum this year. He's quietly had a solid year, so I'd imagine that'd be another hole they'd have to fill. So,
Do you go your off season wish list, be it free agent or draft? Give me your top three positions.
I'm going to name you a player. It's going to be Marty Soros's Rex brother Michael, up in Seattle, the defensive end. He's just had a great year up in Seattle. I mean, Greg Schiano ran him out of town in Tampa. I really strongly believe Michael Bennett will be coming to Chicago in the offseason. I really hope I'm right about that. And I really would be interested in seeing how the two brothers interact on the same team. So defensive end and defensive tackle, I'll lump as one position going forward. And for a change of pace...
You think Peppers is gone after this season?
I do not want to get rid of Peppers, but I do think the Bears will move on from him. I think somebody on Twitter, I think it was Dan Durkin he works for 670 The Score, he said the cap savings would be about $10 million if they cut Julius Peppers. I just think
Peppers this season has not been worth $10 million, and he's making more than that.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say, I mean, I like it says, I'm just a big believer in a guy, even though he doesn't get the stats, he draws the double teams, he draws the chips, he draws the respects, but... You know, like you said, the stats haven't been there. Really, he's been completely invisible in all but two.
Let me phrase it a different way. Your options for similar pay are Peppers or Michael Bennett. Who do you want? I don't think they'll have both.
I'd probably go with the grass is greener with Michael Bennett.
Well, you almost have to. He's younger, and he's been more disruptive in backfields the last year and a half. I agree with you there. Do you look at safety in the first or second round of the draft, or do you try to sign a proven guy? Do you roll into next season saying, well, we're going to roll with Wright and Conte and hope that it's good enough, hope that we get enough pressure? Because God's honest truth, I've not been happy with either of the play this season, especially Conte. He seems out of position on every play. him and McClellan. McClellan had a great game against Green Bay, and he's turned into Shea McClellan since then. But those two, especially in this last game, were out of position more than any other player on the defense. But when we had an aggressive front four that could get to the quarterback, last year, for example, Melton had a big year. Peppers was still Peppers. Wooten had a good year. Stephen Pye was a good player. When we got pressure with the front four, those two safeties were league average at worst. Do you roll with those two again next year? Now, I know that Wright will need to be re-signed, and I think Conte will. I'm not sure. I don't have the numbers in front of me. But do you roll with those two, or do you look to replace one or both of them?
I think you got to look at replacing at least one of them, and I know a name, the Bird up in Buffalo, he's a free agent, but I'm not sure how much money the Bears want to tie into the safety position. I know there's a nice safety from Alabama. He has three names. He might be an intriguing prospect to go in the first
or second. Is that Ha-Ha?
Yeah.
Ha-Ha Clinton Dix, I believe that's him.
You say, and that'd be an interesting
prospect. Who doesn't laugh when they hear a guy named Ha-Ha Dix? But No, he would be an interesting, and he's going to be a first-round guy. So I don't know that we're going to go that route. It really depends on free agency. Look, Fish, I really appreciate you taking the time. We've gone probably twice the time that we intend to, but we've had some good football discussion.
Yeah, we've
hit on.
Thanks for the time, and happy Thanksgiving to all the listeners out there.
Absolutely. Happy Thanksgiving to everybody. Spend some time with your family. For God's sake, spend some time with your family. Talk to the old people in your family. Learn a little bit and just appreciate spending time with them. Some of you know, some of you don't. I've recently lost a loved one. My wife's grandfather died. Great guy. Miss him terribly. Appreciated the time I had with him. Do that with your family. Appreciate them. Spend some time with them this week. Everybody needs to have a great Thanksgiving. We've talked about
eat a big turkey leg and watch a Lions choke again.
And that's what I like to hear. We've talked about Cutler. We've talked about the offseason. Everybody, we really appreciate you tuning in to CCS Radio. We need everybody to like us on Facebook. Fish is going to try to put this on Facebook. We're going to get on the homepage of CCS. We need you to sign up. Go to shycitysports.com/forum. You can sign up there. You can talk to a great mix of interesting opinions is going to be the best way that I'm going to put that out there right now. We really thank everybody for listening. For those that have Fish on Twitter or follow shycitysports.com on Twitter, we're going to have this up on there. You can leave comments either through Podomatic. You can leave comments on ccs.com. Really, that's going to be all we have for today, and we really appreciate everybody listening. Happy Thanksgiving, and as always, Fish, say bye after this, but as always, be well, everybody.
Bye and be well.
You know, well, I'm a chicken fried, a cold beer on a Friday night, a pair of jeans that fit just right, and the radio. Oh.